Good morning. You know, as a boy, there are two men that are very important for the growth, the upbringing of a boy. First is the father. Then is the grandfather. But some are blessed, they have the great-grandfather. I grew up without a grandfather. He died before I was born. As for a father, he was never really around. To him, his role was to be a provider. He was a good provider. He worked hard to provide. But in terms of being there for me, he was not available. I never have a chance to ask him in my journey of life, in my career, in my this or in my that. I have to find my own way. This morning, may I say Happy Father's Day to all of you that are here. I consider it as a great privilege to share on this Father's Day. And I think fatherhood is always changing, especially in this world that we live. And it's becoming harder as more things are upon fathers. So where do I learn the role of fatherhood? Not from my grandfather, not from my father. I learned the role of fatherhood from the Bible. And in learning from the Bible, I must say that there is hit and miss. How many of you realize that? There is hit and miss. There are mistakes that we make. But one thing for sure, we have a God of grace. A God who will see us through and help us. So this morning, I want to speak on the unchanging father's role. This father's role was given to Abraham. As we know that Abraham is the father of faith, the father of many nations, and the fathers of all nations. God called Abraham to himself so that he and his family may follow God's way. And when God called Abraham, he was living in an environment of idol worshippers. Abraham did not live in easy time. He lived in difficult time. God called him, specially called him, and said that I have a purpose for you. We know that Abraham was not a perfect man. He makes mistakes in his life. No fathers here can say I'm perfect. In fact, I think if I have a chance to be a father again, I will do many things differently. But now I enjoy being a grandfather, looking at the mistake of my children. You know, but one thing that God has this confidence when he called Abraham, that he called Abraham so that through Abraham, he will establish generation after generation. God called Abraham and said to Abraham, I'm going to be a God to you, not just to you alone, but to your children and to your children's children. Abraham is called. God is called to Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Even though he is imperfect, yet God has this confidence that he will establish generational godly family. This is what Genesis chapter 18 verse 19 says. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The Message Bible put it this way. Yes, I have settled on him. I have settled on him. It's in Abraham's heart. Abraham has made that decision. I have settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to keep God's way of life. Live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. I know him. One translation said this, I have chosen him. God has chosen Abraham for one purpose, not so that he can conquer Canaan and inherit Canaan. He never did. God had chosen Abraham for one purpose, chose him to command his children in God's way. You see, Abraham was called to be a blessing to who? The whole world. But for him to do that, it begins with him influencing who? Not the whole world. His family. The one closest to him. God wants Abraham to command, to teach, to direct his children from generation to generation. You see, God told Abraham, and he wants Abraham to think generational. Abraham, you have to think what? Generational. You see, the world, when we talk about generational in the world, it talks about the transfer of wealth. To the world, when you think about generation, is how can I pass my wealth, my money, my property to my next, to my children, and how they can bring it to the children and the children. But when God said to us, I want you to think generational, he is not talking about passing wealth. Because wealth can be passed, and wealth can also be what? Lost. God said, I want you to think generational by passing your what? Faith. Passing your faith. Because if your children can capture your faith and practice your faith, then the blessing of God, the wealth of God will follow them. Generational, God said to each one of us, it's not about wealth transfer, but it's about what? Faith transfer. Passing who you have believed. That's why the little face after him is an idea that Abraham will leave a legacy. That Abraham will leave a legacy for his son Isaac, and Isaac will leave a legacy for his son Jacob, and Jacob will leave a legacy for his grandchildren. God wants us to realize that we as fathers, we have a legacy to leave to our children. One day when our address is changed, and we will all change address one day, I want you to know what you pass to your children, to your grandchildren, are important for them to follow. I want you to think generational and believe God, that not only you will believe and serve God, but your children will also believe and serve God, and your children and children will also believe to serve God. So when God said to Abraham, I have only one instruction for you. I know you. If you want to be a father, to think generational and to prepare your children generational, then you must be able to answer these three questions. If you are able to answer yes to this question, then you are fulfilling your fatherly role in God's way in your house. The first question I want to ask you, do God knows you? This is what God said about Abraham. I know who? I know him. God never said, I know Sarah. God never said, I know his son Isaac that is to come. But he said, I know him. God never said, I knew him. Because if God said, I knew him, it's already the past. But when God said, I know him, it means this, that is in the present tense and is in the continuous present tense. That I have this relationship with Abraham, and I know that this relationship with Abraham, that Abraham had for me, that the obedience of Abraham, his faith for me, will continue to grow and grow and grow. You see, do God knows you? In what way does God knows Abraham? God knows Abraham as the leader of his house. The father's role begins with the man taking leadership position in his house. To the house of Abraham was not Sarah, was not the children Isaac, but it was Abraham's responsibility. You see, when Abraham failed to take leadership in his house and listen to his wife Sarah, Ishmael was born. Later on, when Sarah and Hagar quarrel frequently, and I tell you, one woman is enough. Why would she want two women? Abraham needs to have a brain check. And when they quarrel frequently, and Sarah came to Abraham and said, "Get this woman out of here." Abraham this time did not listen to Sarah until God said, "Release and send Hagar away. I will also bless them." Your leadership at home is not given by your children, is not given by your wife, is given by who? By God. God has given you this leadership, and you must not bring it and give it to your wife or your children. You know, in our world today, even in Christian home, there is no clear leadership. But God has ordained leadership in the house is first the father, then the mother, then who? The children, then who? The dog or the cat. This is how God has ordained, you know. And sometimes, you know, we try to change the order. When we change the order, we will face the consequences of changing the order. Can God say, "I know you," just like he knew Abraham? Because Abraham took leadership position in his house. When God said, "I know Abraham," the word "know" means I know him not as an acquaintance. I know him as a friend. We sang the song, "Abraham, the friend of God. I'm a friend of God." Abraham was a friend of God, that God is able to share with Abraham what is in his heart and what he wants to do. Can God also say of you, "I know you. You are my friend. I can share with you the concern of my heart"? Not, "I know you because you always come to me with a list of prayer of the things you want me to do, but you never listen my heartbeat and hear what I want." Abraham was a man who knows. God said, "I know him because he is my friend." When God said, "I know Abraham," God said, "I know Abraham as a person whose heart is for him." God knew Abraham, he saw Abraham, he observed Abraham, and his life was not filled with me and my or I. His whole life has one purpose: to live a life that pleases God. His heart, his character, his priority, his love is for God. We know that when God tests him to sacrifice his son, he did not have to argue with God, complain to God, fight with God, or hesitate. But the Bible said the next day he obeyed, a man whose heart is set for God. When God said, "I know him," God said, "I know Abraham as a praying man." God opened a dialogue with Abraham in this chapter, giving Abraham the opportunity to intercede for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. and he intercedes for them. One of the greatest privileges of being a father, and you should enjoy the privilege, is the privilege to pray. We say that prayer changes things. Your children and your home are not changed by your shouting, screaming, fighting, and scolding. Help me realize that. In fact, when you create that kind of atmosphere, the house becomes so tense. You know, like, it's a, like you are walking on eggshell. Your house and your children can only be changed by you loving them and what? Praying for them. Last Sunday, my daughter preached. He shared God's word. I'm sure some of you came and said you are blessed. But do you know what I have to go through in his growing up years? The shouting, the screaming will not help. It was loving her, telling her, and praying for her. I want you to know, fathers, your prayer is important for God to hear. Don't leave the prayer to the mother. You as a father, God given you the leadership, you can pray. You may not be able to make long prayer like the mother and flowery prayer like the mother. But the Bible tells the prayer of a righteous man prevail much. A simple prayer. So God say, I know him. Can God say it of you, I know him. I know you because you take up leadership in your house. I know you because you are my friend. I know you because you had a heart for me. I know you because you pray. Because if you can answer yes to this question, then you are fulfilling God's fatherly role in building generational family in God's way. The second thing about Abraham, and this is a question that I want to ask you. Do you train your children? In verse 19, the second part says, he will command his children and his household. Some of us, you know, have this worry. And some parents do worry. What am I going to give? What am I going to leave for our children? Of course, every parent would like to leave an inheritance. And thank God, thank goodness, never leave a debt to your children. And we will all want to leave an inheritance to them. But sometimes, we don't have the ability and capacity to leave an inheritance. My father died, he left me nothing. Not every parent are able to do. But the greatest inheritance that you can give your children is to train them, teach them, and direct them in the way of the Lord. One translation says, Abraham would direct his children. The word direct is used in the same word as God that direct. He commanded in creation. And through his providence, he got the course of history. So when you use the word that Abraham would direct his children, when you use it in the parently term, it means that you will take charge of your children's religion and moral instruction. You know, sometimes in our world today, we are told, give our children the choices. It's not. You want to wear red or you want to wear blue? You want to eat rice or you want to eat noodle? Those choices are okay. But if you are smart, like me, when my children grow up, after church service, you are going out for lunch, I always give them two choices. And what are the two choices? The two choices that I like. No matter what, I win. But we seem to have this idea today because of the world bombarding on us that children has their right, children has a voice. Yes, they have right, they have voice, but they are having it under our protection. So when it comes to belief, should they go to church on Sunday? Then I want to tell you, you as a father, say, you go. Hello? Because they are living under your roof. And you show them by being an example. Don't ask them to read the Bible if you don't read. Don't ask them to pray if you don't pray. Don't ask them to go for worship service if you yourself don't go. You lead them, you direct them. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train, point, and direct your children in the way, into the right path, and when they are older, they will not depart from Him. When God says, I know that He will train His children, one translation put this word, teach and train. Two words He used. You see, it's quite clearly that in order to train your children, you must have the first action. And what's the first action? To teach. And then when you teach them, you must what? Command them. If you don't teach them, then they do not know what is valuable, what is right, what is wrong. If you do not teach them, then they do not know what is expected of you. So you must teach. But then if you just teach them and you don't command them, then you become what kind of father? You become the leaderless father. The father's job is first to teach. Show them by the example of their life. Teach them from God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us to the Israelites, when they sleep, when they sit, take every opportunity to impart to them the things of God, the God who you serve, the God who you love. You may think it's not important, but I want you to know, whenever you talk about God, something is deposited into their heart that one day, God in His sovereign grace will bring it out when it's needed. What a purpose in life, to train, to teach, and to direct your children. The Bible uses the word teach and command. The Bible never used the word bribe your children. Hello? Modern parents will bribe their children. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible never said bargain with your children. The Bible said you must teach them and command them. And you do it not as a tyrant. You do it in loving care as a father who set as example. You do it because personally you experience God's goodness. And now, intentionally, you are imparting it to them. Too many times, training of the children is left for the mother. When the Bible says, it is the responsibility of both. And when fathers get involved in training, he is hot-headed and impatient. I grew up, my father was hardly around. Who disciplined us? My uncle, who stayed with us, disciplined us. He was my father's elder brother. In his youngest day, he was supposed to get married, but the girl left, didn't work out, so he never got married, and he stayed with us till the day he died. He was a discipline master. But when my father's discipline, his hell break loose. I saw him. You tie my elder brother onto a string hanging and he whack. You see, sometimes fathers are like this. We show and vent our anger on our children. It ain't going to work. wonder Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 say, Father, do not embitter, provoke, or irritate your children, or they will become discouraged, disheartened, and lose heart. But rather, this is what the Bible says, if you want to discipline and train your children, take them by their hands and direct them in the way of God. When Paul used the word father in Ephesians, in Greek it means father and mother. Parents, both of you must play the role of bringing up your children. Don't let the children play games with you. Well, I know mom will say no, but if I go to dad, it will always be what? Yes. So you think after a while, the child got smart. Who he goes to first? Go to the father. And then when he goes to the father, he'll come to the mother. Dad say yes. And what can mother say? Nothing. So it takes both to train the child. Are you able to answer this question? I train, I direct, I teach, and I command my children in God's way. My one purpose in life is to lead them generational. Because if you can't sit there, then you are fulfilling God's fatherly role in building generational family in God's way. The third question, do they keep God's way of life? Verse 19, the end part say, they shall keep the way of the Lord in doing what is right and just. The Message Bible said, to keep God's way of life, live kindly, generously, and fairly. The word, they shall keep. That is the same word that is used to guard and to watch. And it's the same word that is used of a watchman. A watchman keep the city. A watchman guard over the city. And for you as a father to keep, to make sure they keep the way, then you cannot fall asleep. You cannot slumber. You must be vigilant. You must stay awake. Because fathers, we need to keep watch over our children that they follow the way of the Lord. And if your children is caught up with all the internet games and all the things that is on the iPad, may I encourage you, Father, keep an eye on what they are looking at. You do not know the junk that comes in. We need to watch over our children. Pay attention, careful attention to them so that they will follow the way of God. Because if you look in the life of Abraham, he is not perfect. He tried. The children also have fallen, but God in his grace always bring them back. But look at Abraham's nephew Lot and his family. Look at Lot's life. From bad to worse. So, my role is to teach and command. To teach is like in the classroom, sitting down, hey, come on, you cannot do this. This is not what the Bible says. Hey, you cannot do this because there are consequences. This is what? To teach. Then to command comes the actually doing God's way of life. What is God's way of life? God's way of life is doing what is right and just, living in kindness, living in generosity, and living fairly. Wow, that's God's way of life. Look at Abraham and Lot when they have an argument. Abraham did not kill Lot. Abraham told Lot, what you want, you take. I'm a just, I'm a generous, I'm a fair man because I have a God who has given me everything, and he will continue to give me everything if I follow his way. teach them God's way of life, which is contrary to the world. Because the world concept of rightness, fairness, kindness, generosity is driven by personal gain. What's for me? But God calls us to live His way of kindness, His way of generosity, His way of fairness, not based on human standard, but on God's standard, so that in doing that, we become the salt and the light of the world. To keep God's way. The word keep also means to protect, to guard, to build a hedge and preserve God's way of life. Because you, as a father, your family, your children are constantly bombarded by the world. And the world wants to mold them and squeeze them into their box, into their liking. But God said to us that we need to go against the culture, against the spirit and the age of this world, and we need to shine forth with His power, with His grace, that we are God's people. Say amen. We are God's people. We are different. So, God's way of life. We have God's way, we have my way, we have the world's way. Only God's way leads to life and blessing. My way, it may seem right to me. The way may seem right to a man, but it may lead to death. The world way is definitely destructive and bring to death. Abraham will keep the way of the Lord, not only him, but his household. Are you able to answer this last question? You keep the way of the Lord. You do what is right and just before God. You live in kindness, generosity, and fairness. How many of you want people to be kind to you? Come on, put up your hand. Come on. If you don't put up your hand after service, I'll be very unkind to you. How many of you want people to be generous with you? Put up your hand. How many people want people to be fair to you? Put up your hand. Now, if you want that, it is not going to happen unless you sow seed of generosity, seed of fairness, seed of kindness. You realize that? When you teach and you sow, you will reap that. What about if I do all these things, it doesn't come to me? People still treat me unfairly, ungenerously, unkindly. Then I tell you one thing, they have to answer to who? To God. But as for me, I will be God's way. God's way is always fairness, kindness, and generosity. If you can answer yes, then you are fulfilling God's fatherly role in building generational family in God's way. God's way will bring God's promises to you. Abraham's life, his investment in his present and future household allowed God to fulfill his promise to him. God said, if you do this, then I can fulfill my promise to you. You see there? You want to enjoy tomorrow, you want to see your children following God tomorrow, then you have to invest today and every day over their life. Because when you do this, this is God's promise to Abraham. There is also to you. God promise number one, God will fulfill His promise to you that He has spoken to Abraham, that He will bring it to pass, that whatever God promised, He is good for His word. He is good for His promise. That if you do this, God will do this. Second promise, the Lord, God's presence, that Abraham is not alone as he built generational for God. Abraham is not alone as he trained, as he commanded. And sometimes being parents, Being father, we don't want to command because we want to be loved. How many of you realize that? We want to be loved, so we don't want to correct our children. We close our eyes. But then you need to realize God's promise, His presence. His promise, His presence will never leave you or forsake you. He promised that His presence will give you the wisdom if you ask Him. The third promise is God's power, that God may bring upon Abraham. The God who we serve is able to do everything, and He's able to do more than what He promised, much more than He promised, above what you ask and think. He promises He also fulfills them. So fathers, you need to decide in your heart to follow and obey God's fatherly role for you, and by His grace and help, fulfill them. You may not be perfect, but do it. Do it, and believe that each time you do it, you are depositing to your children that in times to come, the promise of God will be for you and your generation. Someone may say, Pastor, you know, my spouse is unsafe. My spouse doesn't know the Lord. What am I going to do? Then look at the New Testament. Timothy's father was unsafe, but he has godly mother and godly grandmother. Both of them took the responsibility to train him in the way of the Lord. As God promised, train the child the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart of him. Look at Timothy, the man that he has become. God's word, it's not just for men, it's also for women. God's word is not for those who think they are complete, but also for those who feel and think incomplete, because He's the promiser. So, happy Father's Day. Think what? What do you think? Not think food. Think generationally. That's how you think. Think generational. Fathers, make sure God knows you and keep growing in your relationship with God, the Father. I encourage you, fathers, don't be afraid to pray. Your prayer may not be fantastic like your wife. You know, they say that a woman talks more than a man, it's true. You know, they got more words than a man, which is also true. But God still answers your prayer and hear your prayer. Amen. And don't be afraid to teach them, not shouting at them, I tell you to do this, why didn't you do this? It ain't going to help work. Tell them, look, we love the Lord. This is a Christian home. We want to follow the Bible. This is what the Bible says. But if you don't follow, this is the consequences if you don't follow. And then when times that you need to command. No. No is a very strong command. How many of you realize that? Come on, fathers, say the word no. No. Not loud enough. Say the word no. Because I tell you, today, many fathers find it hard to say the word no. You're going to be a father soon, right? Hard to say no. But I'm telling you, we as fathers must be able to say the word no. Well, I'm going to pray for the fathers. Come on, fathers, come. I have a gift for each father. We have a gift for each father, not I. We have a gift for each father, and we're going to pray for each father. Come on, fathers, come forward. Come on, fathers. All the fathers out here? Very good. Now, listen. Once in the class there was asked to a group of children, what is the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day? I mean, where is Shui? bless her heart. She didn't want the mother to miss out. To miss out. Today you have Mother's Day presentation, Father's Day. Some of you fathers may say, I thought it's my day. So what is the difference in the class between the Father's Day and the Mother's Day? I know what was the answer. The answer was the money you spend. If you look at, say, Mother's Day spends more money than Father's Day. As you are aware, every Mother's Day, the present is the responsibility of Joanna. So if you think it's not spent enough, go and see her. But every Father's Day, what present to buy is my responsibility. Because I don't want to leave it to Joanna. It will end up the same gift for the mothers. Now, if you have been in grace, you remember the year that you have the shaver. I can see all you have been shaving. Remember the year that the church gave you the screwdriver. See, we always give them practical things. Then last year, what did we give you last year? Because we was not able to have Father's Day, Mother's Day. What did we give you last year? We give you the hot water bag. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, that was a great gift. Because this winter is especially what? Cold. So, every year, to think about what to give to you is not an easy job. If I lose my hair, it's because I'm thinking about Father's Day gift. So this year, for Father's Day, what shall we give them? Was a question I asked myself. So, let me just take a gift and show you what we are going to give you before I pray for you. So, fathers, this year, I have think of what gift to give to you, a gift that is practical, a gift that will save you, a gift that will not get you into trouble if you use it correctly. So, we have bought this you this year. Mothers, don't envy. A special earplug. Now, what is this year's plug for? Listen here. This year plug is Bluetooth. You can tie it to your phone, or you can tie it to your iPad or your computer. Okay? Is you can play music and sermon out from here. When your children are making a lot of noise at home, you want some peace and quiet, use this one. Earplug. And you can cut all the sounds out there. Now, this is a warning to you. When your wife is making noise, don't use this earplug. Because if you use this earplug, you will be in trouble. When your wife is making noise, and you have this earplug on, take it out and listen. What a joy this morning to pray for the fathers that is here. And then also, in there, we also have chocolate for you. You can share that with your wife and your children. See, you'll be called the best father of the year. Why don't you raise your hand to the Lord? And why don't you, the rest of you, stretch your hand towards them? Lord, I want you to bless every father and every grandfather. Bless them with every spiritual gift from above. Bless them with wisdom, with health and strength, O God. Lord, I want you to help them to realize that the calling that you have placed upon them, O God, is not difficult when they trust you, when they depend on you, O God. Show them, O God, that you delight in the work that they do. Show them, oh God, and affirm them, Lord, that as they do their fatherly role,
in the authority and in the direction of your grace and your spirit, God. There is a worthwhile effort, God, that they are imparting to their children. I pray, Father, may the love of the Father always fill their heart. Lord, as they trust you and depend on you, help them, give them wisdom. I pray, Father, every unselfish act of love and encouragement that they give to their household, God, you honor them, oh God. And Lord, I pray that when they pray as fathers commanded by your word, Lord, that you answer their prayer, that you will move heaven and earth to bring their prayer to pass, oh God. Lord, I pray when challenge comes upon their life, no matter how difficult, how taxing it may be, may your spirit give them words of strength. May your spirit strengthen them so that they are able to say, I know my God and my God knows me. Lord, that you reward their faith. I declare, Lord, that your hand is upon them. Lord, I pray that you will bring healing to each fathers that are here. The experience of their childhood, their upbringing. Lord, sometimes there are hurts and regret. I ask you today, step in and heal those areas. And fill it with your marvelous grace, your healing grace. And let your joy and your gladness fills their hearts, oh God. They find the ability to do what you have called them to do. Remove every disappointment and bring appointment, oh God. Remove every failure and bring opportunity, oh God. I ask, Lord, because you love fathers and you give them responsibility and role they can only fulfill through your help, oh God. Preserve and keep them. And on this special day, and all the days of their life, fill them with your blessing, fill them with your grace, fill them with everything that you have declared in your words over their life. That one day, Father, when they stand before you, they will hear you say, well done, my son. Well done, my son. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just...